Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Barry Glassner's The Culture of Fear is a work of sociology and media criticism that examines why Americans often become intensely worried about threats that are statistically rare, exaggerated, or politically convenient. First published in 1999 and later updated, the book argues that public anxiety is not simply a natural response to danger. It is shaped by news routines, political incentives, advocacy campaigns, commercial interests, and emotionally powerful anecdotes that can overwhelm careful evidence. Glassner focuses on fears surrounding crime, drugs, minorities, teen mothers, children, schools, and other social issues, showing how isolated events are repeatedly presented as signs of national crisis. His purpose is not to deny that real problems exist, but to ask why some dangers receive disproportionate attention while larger, more measurable risks remain neglected. The book belongs to a tradition of sociological skepticism, but its accessible style makes it useful for general readers concerned with media literacy and public judgment. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how isolated incidents are transformed into national moral panics. A central argument of the culture of fear is that American public anxiety often begins with a vivid incident rather than a reliable pattern. Glassner shows how a shocking crime, a school tragedy, or an alarming personal story can be treated as evidence of a broad social trend, even when the available data do not support that conclusion. The mechanism matters because human attention responds strongly to concrete stories. A single harmed child, a dramatic television interview, or a sensational headline can feel more persuasive than a long-term statistical decline. Glassner argues that this imbalance allows rare events to become symbolic proof that society is collapsing. The result is not only emotional distortion, but policy distortion. When public debate is driven by the most memorable example, resources may be directed toward highly visible but comparatively uncommon dangers. This topic gives the book its analytical force. Fear is not portrayed as irrational in a simple sense, but is socially organized through repetition, framing, and selective attention. Secondly, media incentives reward dramatic danger over proportional risk. Glassner gives sustained attention to the role of media institutions in amplifying fear. His critique is not that journalists invent every danger, but that news production favors stories that are immediate, emotional, visual, and conflict-driven. Statistical context is harder to dramatize than a frightening anecdote, and gradual improvements are less newsworthy than sudden threats. This creates a structural bias toward alarm. Crime coverage, for example, can increase even when crime rates are falling, leading audiences to believe they are living through escalating danger. The same pattern appears in stories about drugs, schools, youth behavior, and strangers. Glassner's reasoning is especially important because it avoids reducing the problem to individual bad actors. The culture of fear persists. Because fear is useful content, it attracts attention, fills airtime, encourages repeat consumption, and gives audiences a sense of urgency. By identifying these incentives, the book helps readers distinguish between the existence of a problem and the scale of attention it receives. Thirdly, fear-mongering depends on misleading statistics and expert authority. Another important theme is the misuse of numbers. Glassner repeatedly argues that fear becomes more persuasive when it is attached to statistics that sound precise but are poorly contextualized, selectively chosen, or based on questionable assumptions. A large number can be alarming without being meaningful if it is not compared with population size, historical trends, base rates, or competing risks. The book also examines how expert voices, advocacy groups, politicians, and commentators can lend credibility to claims that deserve more scrutiny. This does not mean Glassner rejects expertise. Rather, he insists that claims about danger must be evaluated by the quality of evidence behind them. His approach is sociological and empirical: ask who benefits from a fear, what data are being emphasized, what data are missing, and whether anecdotes are being substituted for analysis. This topic is one of the book's practical contributions because it gives readers a method for reading public claims more carefully without drifting into generalized distrust of all information. Fourthly, misplaced fear diverts attention from deeper social problems. Glassner's concern is not merely that exaggerated fears make people anxious. He argues that they can redirect public attention away from more serious and preventable problems. When society fixates on dramatic threats such as random violence, predatory strangers, or supposedly dangerous categories of people, it may ignore less sensational harms linked to poverty, healthcare, inequality, domestic violence, environmental hazards, or institutional failure. This displacement is politically significant. Fear can simplify complex problems by locating danger in visible scapegoats rather than in difficult structural conditions. It can also justify punitive responses that appear decisive while doing little to reduce actual risk. Glassner's analysis shows that a culture of fear is not just a collection of mistaken beliefs. It is a public agenda that determines which problems deserve sympathy, money, legislation, and media time. The book therefore asks readers to consider opportunity cost. Every exaggerated panic consumes civic attention that could otherwise be used to address harms with stronger evidence and broader consequences. Lastly, social groups become symbols of danger through repeated framing. The book pays close attention to the way fear attaches to particular social groups, including minorities. Young people, poor communities, teen mothers, and children labeled as unusually violent or at risk. Glasner argues that these fears often depend on broad generalizations from selective cases. A troubling story about one individual becomes a narrative about a whole category of people. This process is powerful because it turns social anxiety into suspicion toward identifiable groups, making fear feel manageable by giving it a target. The consequences can be serious. Stigmatized groups may be treated as threats before their actual circumstances are understood. Glasner's analysis challenges readers to notice how public language converts complex social realities into simplified danger signs. The topic also reveals the moral dimension of the book. Fear does not distribute itself evenly. It often reinforces existing inequalities by making already vulnerable groups appear responsible for social decline. In this sense, the culture of fear is also a study of scapegoating and social labeling. In conclusion, the culture of fear is best suited for readers interested in sociology, media studies, political communication, public policy, criminology, and the everyday psychology of risk. It is also useful for general readers who want a disciplined way to evaluate alarming news without simply dismissing legitimate dangers. The practical benefit of the book is its method: compare anecdotes with evidence, ask who benefits from panic, examine whether a reported trend is actually increasing, and notice which problems disappear when attention is captured by spectacle. Its intellectual benefit is broader. Glasner shows that fear is not only a private emotion, but a public product shaped by institutions, incentives, and narratives. Compared with many books about media bias or misinformation, this one stands out because it connects sensational stories to concrete social consequences, especially the misdirection of concern toward exaggerated threats and away from more consequential risks. It is not a manual for eliminating fear, nor does it claim that all public anxieties are false. Its distinctive value lies in showing how fear becomes credible, profitable, and politically useful. For readers seeking a clear, evidence-oriented account of moral panic in American life, it remains a significant and accessible work. If you would like to support Barry Glasner, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.